Father, I just thank you for this day today. I thank you for High Point Church, Father. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to share the word, Father, and for those that hear the word, Father. May your word transform our hearts, that we may experience more of your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, early this morning, I got woken up from the Lord, and he told me what he wanted me to teach on. And so I'm going to teach on it. And he knows what. I asked him about it. And he said, they need to hear this. I said, okay. So this is for everyone who's listening online, who will see this tonight, who will see this in a year from now, who will see this right at this very moment. We're going to be talking about forgiveness. And what forgiveness is, why we need to do it, and what place does it have in healing. So hopefully we'll touch all of that, and we will just see what the Lord has for us today. But I tried to teach something different. I tell you, I had two other things I wanted to teach, and he kept going back. He says, no, you need to teach this today. So whatever's going on, I just want you to know that this is the perfect timing of the Lord for you, for us here in this room, to receive what the Lord has for us. Everybody knows that we're supposed to forgive, right? Everybody knows we're supposed to forgive. But I think that sometimes we don't understand how important it is to actually do it. And we subconsciously or inadvertently carry unforgiveness in our hearts, which is blocking the flow of God to the fullness of what it should be. And here's what's really interesting, is that if we hold somebody else in contempt because they've done us wrong, because they are in debt to us because of whatever injustice or offense, whatever evil they did, however they wronged us, if we hold them that they need to pay or make that right, then what we're actually doing is holding our own self a prisoner. And I don't think people realize they are making themselves the prisoners. They expect God through Jesus Christ to forgive us by the blood of Jesus, but we have to do the same towards other people that God does towards us. Does that make sense? Something happens in a human heart, and we'll go through verses, that says, I receive the forgiveness of my sins, Lord, but they need to be punished. They did me wrong. They embarrassed me. They betrayed me and stabbed me in the back. They misused me when I was young and broke me. And all of that, our human heart can sometimes justify holding that until the theys make it right in our eyes. And sometimes the theys can't make it right. Sometimes they're incapable of doing it, and sometimes they die and never can do it. But the poison and the prison has already been established in our hearts. So it's really important. God has made it so that we have to forgive other people. It's not even a question about it. I'm going to go all the way to the end and say a verse. Maybe I'm not, because I don't see it right now. So let's just go through some verses and let's look at some of these parables about forgiveness. And I'm just going to ask by a show of hands here, and you can go ahead and raise your hand in TV land. Have you ever been offended by somebody else? Okay, have you been offended by somebody and it was easy to just cast it aside and just let it go? Yeah, because it was dumb. It was small. It was accidental. It stirred me up, but I let it go. Have you ever had something happen to you that you stewed on it and you held it for a very, very long time before you let it go? Mm-hmm. And in that time when you were stewing on it before you can let it go, did you have extreme amount of joy in your heart when you thought about that person? No, you didn't. It was hard to be full of joy. It was hard to see by faith towards that person because we had blocked the flow of life between the two of us. We blocked that flow of life. And I want to let you know, we are all connected and made one in the Spirit, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. It's absolutely a fact. And if we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, it affects the people around us. We're toxic and we don't even realize it. But it does. It sets a tone. How many of you have walked in on two people that were bickering, but they stopped when you entered the room, and you can still feel the yuck even though they're not arguing? How can you feel that? How is that possible? They're not arguing. Because we're all connected. We actually are all physically connected. We're one in Christ. We're one spirit with God. That's why we have to forgive. It's not even an option to God. And hopefully I'll find my verse that says that as we get through it today. So let's go with our Bible and let's look at Matthew 6. Matthew 6, we're going to do 14 and 15. And in Matthew, these are great chapters here, 5, 6, and 7. I love these chapters. They are wonderful. We're going to look at verse 14, which is in the middle of the model prayer. And we are dealing with the model prayer. And he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Verse 15. "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So he's saying that if you don't forgive other people the wrongs that they've done to you, God can't release you from that prison and that poison that you have in your heart. He can't forgive you of it either. He can't release you from it. You're the one that's in charge of holding that toxin in you and building that prison around you. Because what somebody else did, you decided that it was unjust scales. And because you decided there was unjust scales, you hold it in your heart until it can get balanced. And what we need to do is realize that Jesus paid it all. And that we need to release them the same way God releases us. Does that make sense? So it says, oops, I just lost my little finger here. Let's go to Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, verse 21, it says, it's the parable of the unforgiving servant in my Bible. We all know this parable, but I'm going to read it anyway. It says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?'" So in other words, he's saying that, you know, should I just keep doing it and doing it? You know? Like even up to seven times, which to Peter was probably a very big number, you know, because they trampled me all these times. Should I just let it go up to seven times? Here's what the Lord said. Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servant. And when he had begun to settle accounts, One was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and the payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out, found one of his fellow servants. Now look, I believe this is something that happens automatically inside of us. I don't think that this is a planned behavior, what's about to happen here. I believe it's just naturally in us from the course of this world. But I want to let you know, it's in the old man. It's not in the new man. It's in the old man. And the old man, this is the nature of the old man. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Deja vu. And he would not, but he went and threw him in prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brothers his trespasses. So if we're holding other people prisoners in our hearts, we ourselves are being the one that is being tortured. We're the ones being tortured because we won't forgive that person and we won't release them from what they've done. So here's the problem. It's like, I've heard somebody say this once, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It doesn't work. We have to forgive. We just absolutely must forgive. Where did I read? Matthew 18. If we don't forgive others, our Father cannot release us from the torturers. He can't. It's us holding the other person in contempt. It's us holding the other person a prisoner is what causes the torturers to come to us. And we need to, whatever it takes, at whatever cost, turn other people free. You know, I wanted to, there's another one that Jesus used as a parable, and I think it was in Luke. What? Yeah, I'm thinking it's 17:2. So let's go to Luke 17:1. And this is the one that I wanted to get to also. Peter is doing the 7 times 7 thing again with Jesus. And Jesus told him that he had to forgive. And Peter comes right out with, oh, Lord, increase my faith so that I can forgive these people. And Jesus does a wonderful Holy Ghost slap in the face with Peter. And I just love it. And a lot of people miss this, but I really enjoy it. So here it is. 17:1. And he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you should forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So faith has nothing to do with size. It has nothing to do with increasing. It has to do with when you have it, you can speak to the tree and tell it to go jump into the sea. It has nothing to do with forgiving other people. Faith operates if you have it, period. However, the human heart, when it blocks and holds on to the poisons and the prisons, puts itself in prison, it blocks the flow of God from flowing through you, which allows doubt and unbelief to creep in, and you don't operate in your faith. The principle of faith doesn't change. It's not contingent. If you have faith, it'll do it, straight up. But the forgiveness or the lack of the forgiveness holds your heart the prisoner. So this is what Jesus says to him. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But he will not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. So God puts this forgiveness and releasing other people into an obligation category, not a reward category. You don't get points for forgiving people. You don't get rewards for forgiving people. You are obligated to do it, period, by God, because he forgave us. It's not a choice. It's an obligation. You're commanded by God to do it. And when you do it, it's not, ha, ha, I forgave them. No. It's a very modest and humble position. Because what you've done is you've released yourself from prison, and you've released the other person from prison, and you've acknowledged that sin has been dealt with. We don't want to offend people. We don't want offenses to come. And it'd be better if you were drowned in a lake, he's saying, put a millstone around their neck, if we should cause somebody else to stumble. But there's provision for it because we do. We do it. We offend people, and other people offend us, embarrass us, stab us in the back, misuse us, break us. People do terrible things to people. And it's easy to think that I have a right to be angry. I have a right to hold this because of what they did to me. I have a right to do it. And that's not true. It's a hurt that needs to be healed. But it's not a right to hold that. It's a poison. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that old things have passed away and all things have become new. Right? You are a new creature. You're a new kind of a person. You're a new creation in God. This new creation is not bound by the sins of the world. It's not. It's totally not. We have authority to forgive sin, and to let it go so that they are not connected to us in a life-stealing situation. Does that make sense? This is yes, this is no. Yeah, I know it's a tough thing, because I want to let you know that we so often are going, I'm walking by faith, I'm believing God, I'm anointed, I got the power of the Holy Spirit, and all this stuff is great. But if the Holy Spirit convicts you that you got something in your heart, you have to deal with it right away. You have to let it go. Because humbling ourselves and releasing other people without them paying the debt, forgiving the debt, forgiving the hurt, forgiving the wrong, and not labeling them as a debtor, not labeling them as guilty, not labeling them as less than you, takes us deliberately working on our heart and choosing to do it. Because I'll tell you, I've met a lot of people that say, I forgave them, but they still don't want to be in the person's presence because there's still a weirdness inside of them. They still get worked up about it and they bring it back to mind again. They haven't forgiven. When you forgive, you release it, you divorce yourself of it. You let it go. Right? It doesn't owe you anymore because you let it go. We have to do that. And I want to say that there's a lot of people that are not very good at doing that. They're not good, and maybe you're not good, at really letting it go. Give it to God and let it go. You know, I was taught a little physical example that helps sometimes, and you guys might want to try it. So what we do is we put our hands together, we put that person in the palm of our hands, or that situation that happened, and we put it in, and we acknowledge how it hurt us, and how they did us wrong, and what happened to my life because that happened. And we acknowledge it, and then we thank the Lord for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that sin, this what they did to me, was paid for on the cross. And I'm not going to hold them accountable for it anymore. I'm acknowledging that Jesus paid it on the cross. And so, Lord, I release this from my heart. I release them and their obligation. And I thank you that Jesus paid it for them and released me. And I let it go. And when we do that, something happens that it cleans us out when we can do that. But we have to come to the place to acknowledge it, because God can't heal us of anything we don't have. Does that make sense? If I won't acknowledge this is the way I am, or this is what's in my heart, this is my perspective, this is how I think that person is, if I can't acknowledge that, God can't heal me of it. So it stays there working on me. I might be able to do really good over here because that's not triggered. And I can do really good in this area and prosper in this area, but if anything brings my attention to that, it stirs back up inside of me. Okay, we're not free of that. So what we need to do, and what happens is all that yuck, yuck, yuck starts coming up and we start getting angry again, and all of a sudden or we get fearful and we don't want to be around them again. All of that cannot be released from us. It cannot be released from us unless we are the ones that turns it loose. Does that make sense? Listen, go to Mark with me. This is really powerful. Matthew, Mark. Thank you. Mark 11. And I'm just going to say it again. This, the Lord said to do this. And you know what? He gives me things to teach and stuff, but he's serious. I tried to get out of this morning. I had something else about the believer's authority I wanted to talk about, the authority that we have. He would not relent. Somebody really needs to turn somebody loose, because you're not getting the end of your faith because you still are judging other people. And if you're going to judge another person, you're guilty of the same thing. It's like having a double-barrel gun, and I don't mean two side by side. I mean it points both directions. And when you pull the trigger, it gets both of you to judge somebody. If grace has been established, if grace has come, which it has, grace has alleviated the works of retribution, the works of balancing the scales. Jesus paid it all for the sins of the whole world. If he paid for the sins of the whole world, who am I or you to find somebody else guilty, to declare them as guilty or wrong? Now, they may do things in the natural that they're guilty of, and the laws of this world will hold them accountable, but we are not to live by that. Though those laws are still active and pertinent, we still have a higher law that we live to, which is to forgive, to release. Because where God is the place of creation that is above the laws. It's above the obligations. It's in a place of freedom. And we live in that place, seated in heavenly places in Christ. And if we will not release people, we bring ourselves back into the earthly realm where the tormentors have a right to pick at us, have a right to steal from us, have a right at us to ruin us, because we are deliberately disobeying God by holding it in our hearts. We're doing it intentionally. We won't turn them loose. It's like I saw a video of a monkey. You know how they catch monkeys? Some monkeys, not all monkeys. They get a coconut and they hollow it out and they put a little hole in it, just big enough for a monkey to reach his hand in, and then they put peanuts inside of the hole, or fruit, whatever, not fruit, but like peanuts, something that he can grab a hold of inside. When he grabs a hold of the peanut, the fist becomes larger than the hole, and he can't get his hand out. And they just come right along and scoop up the monkeys, because the monkey is so greedy for the peanut. He's screaming and hollering because he's afraid of the captors, but he won't let this go because there's something in his brain that says, no, that's mine. I've got it. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. And they catch him. Well, the devil does the same thing with us. If we won't turn people loose, we're captive. He's got us, and he can get us, and we can't get away from him because we are the ones squeezing the nut. Let go of the nuts, you can get away. So that little tiny reward of holding somebody in your heart and hating them, or judging them, or finding yourself better than them because you don't do what they did, traps you. And the pleasure we get from being angry or not releasing it, that little bit of satisfaction at the moment that I'm not going to turn them loose, is the very thing that allows the devil to trample on us. And a lot of people don't realize that. And then sickness comes. Arthritis is a direct result of unforgiveness in most cases. Bones dry out. Your flesh weakens through unforgiveness. Your mind, the actual makeup of your brain, starts deteriorating because of unforgiveness, because we're created to bless. We're created for life to flow out of us. We're created in Christ as a new creation to have springs of living water rising up out of us and flow into the people around us. And we're damming up the spring. Oh, we will say when we're standing over here, no, 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 I'm free. No, 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 no. I'm anointed. I love people. I love the Lord. Oh, I will pray for them to be free. Somebody mentions this event over here, and instantly your heart goes, rah, you haven't released it. You've judged something there. It must be completely eradicated so that more life can flow, so that you get better results. I'm on a rant right now. I may as well keep it going. So a lot of people get a little bit of results in the spirit because they've cleaned up their heart some and they believe God some. But they can have more if they would clean their heart up even further. And I don't mean go looking for stuff. I mean if you get quickened, don't push it down. Don't cast it aside. Don't say, oh, I already dealt with that. Don't do that. Just go there and clean it back up again. It doesn't mean, listen, if I say, ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, only pride would say, what? I didn't do anything. Well, I'm a pastor. Just ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Okay, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Did that hurt me? Did that hurt me in any way to do it again? No. So we clean it up until the poison is gone. Does that make sense? Until the poison is gone. Mark 11. Here's where Jesus combines forgiving others with operating in the power of God. It says, verse 22. This is right after the parable of the fig tree. It's well-known scripture. Verse 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Or have God's faith. For surely I say to you, and I don't mean have the same amount of faith as God has. Let God's faith work through you. Trust God is working through you. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That by itself is huge. Just huge. It's wonderful and huge. Therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Okay, I know a lot of people that don't do that. It's hard for me in a lot of areas. We have to keep working at it. So what would be the hindrance that would allow the unbelief to be in our hearts? What would be the doorway or what allows us? How many of you love God? Raise your hand. Okay, that's nearly everybody in the room. Everybody that's paying attention raised their hands. Okay? So we can all say we love God. How many of you can say your sins have been forgiven? Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. We accept that Jesus died on the cross for us, right? And that's our access point into heaven. We believe that, right? Yes, we do. Okay, so then if we believe that and God says, whatsoever thing you say, believing in your heart, you have it. But if you doubt, you go without. Why is doubt there? Why do you doubt? What is it that causes a person to doubt God? If they trust him that he exists, and they trust him that a sacrifice 2,000 years ago happened and took place and was good enough to allow them complete entrance into heaven, which they can't even prove themselves that it actually took place. You're believing something that other people tell you and is written in a book. And you absolutely believe it, and you're depending on it to be true. And you're getting different results in your life because of an effect that took place inside of you when that revelation hit you. Then why do you doubt? Why is there any doubt in your heart at all? If you really know you've been forgiven, if you really know you have access to God, if you really know you're going to be to heaven, then why would you not believe God on this? Something else is working against you. Something else is causing you to not be able to just trust God. The first word faith is used in the Bible. God says that they are faithless people when they were getting ready to go into the promised land. They are people without any faith. He called them I forget, it's in Deuteronomy. I'd have to look it up for you. But he's saying that they are stiff-necked people, hard-hearted people without faith. The very first time faith is used in the Bible. That's literally translated as trust. They don't trust God. And that was their problem. Do we trust God for salvation? Yes, we do. Do we trust God that our sins are forgiven? Yes, we do. Do we trust God that we have access to heaven? Yes, we do. So then, why do we doubt God? Think about it. Why do you doubt him? If he says, whatever you say, you will have what you say. Whatever you say, you will have what you say. Straight up, whatever you say, you will have what you say. Why is there a disconnect in us? Is there a disconnect? Some people, maybe there's not. Maybe you actually get whatever you say. But sometimes there's like this condemnation that sets into the heart of people that they disqualify themselves automatically. And they look at themselves according to the old person instead of the new creation. And because we look at ourselves according to the old person, the old man or woman, condemnation sets in because we judge ourselves according to the flesh, right? Romans chapter 1. But if we will look at ourselves according to the Spirit and we'll live according to the Spirit, then there is no condemnation, only life and peace, right? So if we're speaking from the Spirit but seeing ourselves according to the flesh, then doubt can set in because we're judging ourselves according to our past actions. We're judging ourselves according to other people's opinions. We're judging ourselves because unbelief has set in because condemnation or shame or guilt. Are you with me still? God clears it up here. He says, and whenever you stand praying, he's connected these two with an and. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. So I'm going to try to make this clear, and I hope I can. I'm not sure that I can, but have grace for me. How can you believe God for an extraordinary thing that is beyond the natural rules of this world? That if you say something, it will come to pass. He said it here. He said it in Luke 17. He said, faith does it. Listen, if you have faith, it happens. But how can your heart, not your mind, your heart, believe in the supernatural realm if it's locked down in the natural realm? Are you with me? By judging another person, you bring yourself down to that level of judgment. You take yourself out of the kingdom of God, seated in the heavenly places, and you bring yourself down into the earthly, natural realm of balance, trying to hold somebody else in an obligation. It lowers you. And when you do that, you can't operate in the supernatural realm. So when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, you have to relieve that pressure. You have to take that thing off so that you can soar again, so that you can walk in the supernatural, so that you can operate at a higher level. Are you with me still? Is that anybody? Did I lose you? Good. Great. That's excellent. Go with me to John. John 22. So Jesus is saying in verse 21. He says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That word retained is kratos, which is a great word. It means to have power or to be strong, to be dominantly strong. So it says that it's to actually hold it, to hold it, to have kratos. You possess, you have the power to do it. So he's saying that if you forgive, release other people their sins, then they are forgiven, they're released. But if you won't release them of their sins, then they remain under your power of holding them. It's retained. You control them. You have the dominion there. That's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. Kind of witchcraft, but what he's actually saying is that if you release people, they'll be released. But if you don't release them, they're going to remain bound up. They're going to be remained, that sin is going to still be with them and they're going to be trapped in it. But you have the power to set them free if you will do it. You can either operate the way God operates or you can operate the way the devil operates. And when you forgive people without a payment, without it getting fixed, sometimes without them even admitting they were wrong, when you do that and you actually release them, what you're doing is you're doing the same thing God did for you. Jesus paid the price for sin and the Father released us. Do you know Jesus said on the cross, I'm not going to go there for time, but do you know when Jesus was on the cross and he was beaten and his beard was pulled out and he had the thorns on his head and he had the spikes through his limbs and he was on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do. They don't realize what they're doing here. So even Jesus, in the worst of the worst, where he could easily have held them accountable for, he didn't even sin and they're nailing him to a cross. He could have easily, if anybody could have said, they deserve punishment. They deserve to pay for this. He didn't. He released them absolutely guilty because ignorance was actually driving them. They didn't know. They didn't know the scope of what they were doing because all they can think about was the frame of this natural world with natural kingdoms. And Jesus was living heavenly on the earth. You are now living heavenly on the earth. And now you can say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I forgive them. They don't know what they do. Are you with me? Because they're trapped in an earthly mentality of self-preservation, of selfishness, of pride, of all that garbage. Even Christians get trapped in that. And we need to turn them loose continually. And the more you turn them loose, the freer you get. Perfect example. Is this making sense? Don't you love hearing about this kind of stuff? Actually, I like it. It's difficult because I'm thinking, well, I don't want to think in that direction. I want to think in life everlasting and victory and power. I don't want to think this other way. Don't go searching for it. If it comes up, deal with it, though. Absolutely deal with it. So here's how I practice it. Rubber meets the road stuff. I'm telling you, the little stuff builds up to become big stuff. So you don't need somebody to murder your child for you to have to ask God to teach you how to forgive them. Okay? It doesn't have to be that drastic. Sometimes it's a little thing like somebody cuts you off in the road. Something goes inside of you. And you get, okay. And when that little something goes inside of you, you can choose to go rah, rah, rah. Or you can choose to go, I've done that before. I've done that before. Lord, bless them. get them to where they want to go safely, help them out, and you release them. I sometimes get in a tiff. My wife and I get in a tiff from time to time. And you know, it's easy to hold that stuff and say, see, they're doing it again. Instead of going, devil, you are trying to stir something up here. I love her and I release any obligation that she has in Jesus' name. And I love my wife. And guess what? Has no power over me. I go on my way. It didn't stick. When those things come, turn them loose as quickly as you can. When somebody really does do you wrong, it's right to go to them and to tell them that they did something wrong. Now, you can never ascribe motive to another person because you don't know. Nobody knows what's in a man except the spirit of that man. Just like nobody knows what's in the depth of God except the spirit of God. And his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we can know the deep things of God. And the deep calls unto deep, that we can relate to God on the deeper things because his spirit tells our spirit. But that doesn't happen with people. We don't know people's motives. So we can't say, they did that on purpose to me. They deliberately did that to me. You can't do that. All you can do is notice what took place, how your heart's condition is, and release them so your heart doesn't keep score. So your heart doesn't keep score. So that if somebody brings it up in a week, you don't even remember what it was because you never logged it. You never let it take a part of your soul or your mind. You never let it tattoo itself on you. You just go, nope, like a chalkboard. Nope, done. Nope, done. Nope, done. And if you do that, your heart stays clean before God, and pretty soon you start living the life of God to where they can't hurt you anymore because you don't let it go there. The Bible says, whomever you forgive, how does it go? It says, do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Do you guys know what I'm talking? Don't judge and you won't be judged. Is that in Matthew? It's in Luke and Matthew. Where is it at? There it is, Luke 6. Luke 6, 37, 38, and 39. And here's where it is. I love this. It says, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So if you hold somebody, if you unforgive somebody, it's actually, you're placing that back on yourself, which people don't get. They don't get that they're, it's the gun that shoots in both directions. You shoot at them, you get shot. Because here's how Jesus qualifies that. He says in verse 39, and he spoke the parable to him. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a ditch? So if you do not forgive other people, you're causing your own blindness to spiritual truths. You're deliberately downgrading your spiritual walk. You're stealing from yourself by placing that on another person. You've got to be elevated, lifted up into the kingdom and throne room of God. So anything that wants to bring you down, you need to dismiss it from your life. No negative thinking's allowed. No holding evil in your heart's allowed. No thinking evil of others is allowed in your heart. It must be released so that you can soar. Are you seeing this? How we have, it's not a, okay, I'm going to be bigger than them and I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to be the bigger person. Wrong. You're a pitied slave that is absolutely ignorant of what you're doing. You're obligated to release them. You don't have a choice. You need to do what was done, you unprofitable servant, and let them go so that you can profit. Are you with me? It's not a play a game with Jesus. It hurts us dramatically to hold other people accountable to our standard of living. You cannot hold others to your standards. You have to let them go. They don't have the same rules in their life that you have. And you have to turn it loose, because the rules have been released that grace and favor can prevail, that everlasting life can be the judge now. Where's everlasting life in this? If there's not everlasting life, turn it loose. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, I didn't want to teach this today. I tell you, I did not want to teach this today. But somebody somewhere is locked up. And God wants to bring you to another level, a higher realm of His glory. And if you don't get this, that the what you ascribe to other people, you obligate yourself to the very same rule. And we have to be set free and expand our tents, expand our boundaries, expand our territories into the heavenly realm by releasing people the debt and the wrong that they have done to us. Amen? God is good. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that it's true. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help people in the room and that are watching me online, Lord, to actually release other people. Yes, they've done you wrong. Yes, they've done bad things. Yes, they're guilty. Maybe they don't even show any signs of caring that they hurt you the way they did. But you have to turn it loose. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're a heavenly creature. You're not bound by the rules and obligations of carnal men and women. You're called to a higher level of order. The order of love covers a multitude of sins. And that we need to release these people and not hold them prisoners in our hearts so that we can be free, so that the life of God can flow from us, so that we can show the world who you are, Lord, by the love that you showed us, we can show them. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.